I'll try the song farther along. And this one always is a blessing. When there's stuff going on in your life, you can't figure it out, and you'll fry both of your brain cells trying to figure it out, trying to understand, and you never will sometimes till you get to heaven. But we can choose to live in the sunshine. When you focus on the S-O-N, you get sunshine in your soul. Amen.
Tempted and tried, we're all made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us,
me to do this one a lot because it just seems to help their heart, I guess you'd say, their soul. But this is I Must Tell Jesus.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear my burdens alone, but in my distress he kindly will. Thank you.
If you want to hear some more good singing, come on back tonight. He'll be singing a bunch more songs tonight and preaching tonight in the evening service. Join me, if you would, this morning in John chapter 21, the Gospel of John chapter number 21. I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture. We're going to read down from verse 1 down through verse 12, the text verse being verse number 12, through one of my favorite passages of Scripture in John chapter number 21. And God bless you for being in the house of the Lord today. And I hope you came looking for something and asking God to speak to your heart about your life and about what His will might be for you today. John 21, would you stand with me, please? We've now arrived after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And verse number 1 of John chapter 21 says, "After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing, and they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered Him, No. And He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now let me say this. You say, how did he know that? He's heard this before. He's seen this before. He's experienced this before. He said, this can be none other but the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Now I want you to notice in verse number 12, understanding, folks, these men had decided we're going to go fishing. Boy, I'm telling you, this thing of serving God, boy, it was good while it lasted. Boy, this thing of following Jesus, this was good while it lasted. But they said, you know what, now we go fishing. We're going to go back and do the things that we are sure of, the things that we know how to do. And even in their desires to go and do their own thing, Jesus called them unto himself and said, come, dine with me. Come and fellowship with me. And may I say to you this morning, it doesn't matter what walk of life you've chosen to walk. You say, well, preacher, what if I'm not in the will of God? May I say to you, the Savior is saying to you today, come and dine. He's saying that, you know what, I want to restore you today. He said to some of you, I want to save you today. He said, some of you, I want you to restore fellowship with me. I want to do something wonderful in your life today. And I'm here to tell you, the Savior is saying, come and dine this morning. And I want to speak to you on the subject, the call to come. Father, bless our time together. What a great, great God you are. And Lord, there's not a person here that wants to take a single thing for granted today. We realize that everything we have comes from above. And we realize, Lord, that you have blessed our lives in such a great way that it would be impossible for us to repay you if we had to. And so we ask you this morning to meet with us, speak to us, we pray, and we'll certainly give you the glory for the outcome of this service today. But we ask it all now this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, there are a lot of great descriptive words in the Bible. A lot of what I would call power words. The words that have some strength to them, and you read them and they just penetrate your heart when you read those words. Words like the word love. When you read in the Bible the word love, does that word penetrate your soul like it does mine? You see, many of us, when we were just little bitty kids, we learned John 3:16, for God didn't just love, God so loved the world. He exceeded what we could possibly even comprehend in our lives. That word love is a power word in the Bible, that God would love someone like you and I. You see, the thing about it is there's a God in heaven that understands what it means to love when that love is not returned. You see, most of us today, it's hard for us to love people who do not return love toward us. But we serve a God in heaven that understands what it means to love when there is no love returned. Love is one of those descriptive words. It's a power word in the Bible. May I say also to you, another power word in the Bible is the word done. The word done. John 15 and verse number 7 talks about that if we abide in Him, and He in us, we shall ask what we will, and it shall be done unto us. You see, the thing about it is when Jesus hung on the cross, He said, it is finished. May I say to you today, what He was saying was, it is done. It's all done. Salvation has been completed. You see, it's a power word, just like love is, to know that salvation is done, done, done. It's all done in Jesus Christ. Thank God it doesn't have anything to do with me. You see, love is a power word. Done is a power word. Hey, can I mention one other one to you? How about mine? Mine. You know, you go read John chapter 10, and there Jesus talks about him being the good shepherd, and he knows his sheep. And he tells us there that I am known of mine. You see, when we get born again, we're the Lord's. And we're his forever and ever and ever. You see, that there are some great descriptive words like love, like done, and to know that I am the Lord's. I'm his and he's mine. And it's forever and ever and ever. Saved is another power word in the Bible. How about the word go in the Bible? Hey, he tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, I could go on and on. You say, hey, preacher, I got my own list of power words. Well, I'm sure you do, but that's just to name a few. We don't have time to name all of them this morning. But may I say to you today that another one of those strengthening words, one of those descriptive words, another one of those power words in the Bible is the word come. Come, Jesus said, and dine. I wonder if some of these men like Peter, I wonder if some of these men that joined him that day said, oh my goodness, I wonder what's going to happen. He said, come and dine with him. I wonder if he's going to chew us out for going back to the fishing business. Well, we didn't have time to read the rest of the story, but go find out how he treated these men. You see, he told them, come and dine. That word come falls right in with these other Bible words. You see, these are words that grip the soul because they are all connected with Jesus. They're all connected with what he has done for us. I remember many times my mama, I would call me. Now, listen, the thing about it is there's not a person in here that don't know the call of mama, right? You can pick mama's voice out of 1,000 people. All these mamas can be talking at the same time, but if your mama speaks out, you can pick her word. You can pick her voice out. I remember my mama calling me many times. One of the most enjoyable things I remember mama calling me for is when she'd say, come eat. Right? Come eat. It's time to eat. Now, folks, my mom, she basically made stuff from scratch. That's just how she cooked. And they would grow a garden. And we'd go out and pick the vegetables and the things out of the garden, bring them in, and that's probably what we're going to have for supper. Now listen, folks, if you've never had an all-vegetable supper, you need to get right with God. Because she would just do something, no meat, no anything, just have some fried okra, have some cream corn. Whew, glory to God. Hey, I'm telling you, but we just have an all-vegetable turnip green. Cornbread. Man, I'm telling you, we just nothing but a vegetable supper, man. And there are sometimes we'd come home and mom would fix a breakfast supper. You ever had a breakfast supper? Glory to God. I'm telling you, hey, homemade biscuits with syrup. Homemade syrup on them. I'm telling you, when mama said come and eat, she didn't have to call twice. But you know, I understood when she said, come and eat, that means we're fixing to put the feed bag on right now and enjoy a good meal. Sometimes she would call and want me to do a task for her, such as clean my room or pick these things up and move them over there. Sometimes she would just call me only for me to listen to some instructions that she had for me. See, sometimes she said, come, eat. Come, I've got something for you to do. Come, and I want to tell you something. You see, I'm here to tell you today that word come, when mama would address me, it was a direct statement and command. Come on! And by the way, when she called, she didn't mean 5 minutes from now. Now that's another message in itself, in delaying mama's call. By the way, folks, that's the reason most of us are in a heap of trouble that we're in today, because we delay God's call in our life. We've delayed it. You see, the thing about it is, it's a direct statement. It's a command. May I say to you that when she called, there was a purpose behind her call. And let me tell you something. When I knew what the purpose, when she said, come, eat, I knew what the purpose was. Isn't it amazing how we respond when it's something that's right down our alley that we want to do, like eating. And boy, when she said, come eat, she didn't have to call twice. Boy, we were down the stairs and into the living room and through the living room and into the kitchen. You see, there was a purpose. Matter of fact, when Mama called, it didn't matter what you were doing or what was going on in your life. When she called, she meant come. You say, what happened, preacher, if you didn't come? That's another message for another day. And by the way, when she said come, she meant right now. And may I say to you that many in Scripture heard the word come from God Almighty. May I say to you, if you went over and found in Genesis chapter 7, you would find there that God Almighty told Noah and his family, come into the ark. He told them, he said, listen, I'm fixing to destroy the earth with the flood. He says, get in the ark. Come into the ark. It was an action word. He meant to move towards something, advance and arrive at a particular place. He said, come into the ark. Exodus chapter 3, you'll find there Moses, where Moses was facing the Lord. He said, oh my goodness, this is the task in which you have me to do. And yet the Lord said, come and deliver my people. He says, come. You don't have to be concerned. Just come. I will do all the work for you. All I need you is a mouthpiece. All I need you for is an instrument. Noah heard the word, come into the ark. Moses heard the word, come, deliver my people. May I say to you, if we find in the New Testament that the Apostle Peter heard the word come more than once. Remember when he was in a boat, saw Jesus walking on the water. And he said, Lord, if it be thee, bid me come to thee. And all Jesus spoke was one word, come. And you know what he decided to do? He decided to come. And when he got out of the boat, guess what he did? He walked on the water. You see, the thing about it is most of us, we're afraid to respond when the call to come is given to us. He came and walked on the water, Matthew chapter 14. You'll find in the book of the Revelation, several times the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of the Lord, told the Apostle John to come and see. To come and see what God had in his life. Now, I want to say a couple of things quickly this morning and move on. Can I ask you today why you came to church? May I ask you, did you come because someone invited you or a friend, or did you come for a family member? Did you come because you were seeking God's will about a place to serve, or maybe you're seeking God's will about what to do in your life? Did you come because you were moved by a still small voice that spoke to you and said, you know what, we need to be in church today? I'm just asking you, why did you come to church today? You see, maybe you came today because you're in a crisis situation in your life and you knew the church is the best source to help. You see, a lot of people come to church because they think, you know what, if I'll just go to church, it'll be all good. Everything will be better. And when they walk out, they say, boy, you know what, I feel good about being in church today. By the way, you should feel good if you're a believer today. You should feel good about being in church. But may I say to you, just because your attendance in church today doesn't mean all your problems are going to go away. You see, some, God forbid, came today, hopefully, not with a critical spirit or to cause harm to another believer. You see, why did we come to church today? Why are we here today? You see, if the word come demands action, then when we come to the house of God, regardless of how we got here, shouldn't we act on whatever God has for us? Hey, I didn't come this morning to waste time, did you? I didn't come here for no reason whatsoever. If I wanted to waste time, I could go waste time somewhere else. I came to the house of God. Why? Because this morning, that still small voice said, hey, it's Sunday. Get up. It's time to go to the house of the Lord. Take your Bible, if you would. Go to John chapter 1 with me, if you would. Go to John chapter 1 quickly. Let me give you a couple of things to think about, chew on this afternoon. John chapter 1, verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And listen, Philip didn't even try to debate with him. Philip didn't even try to explain the situation. The scripture says, Philip just saith unto him, come and see. Just come and see. He said, hey, listen, let me tell you something. We found the Messiah. If you want that to be strengthened in your life, listen, come and see it for yourself. You know why we ought to come to church? We ought to come and see. We ought to come and see. Psalm chapter 122 talks about coming. I'm sorry, Psalm 66 talks about us coming and beholding the works of God. Hey, one of the things that we ought to do is come to church so that we can see what's God doing. What is He doing among the people of God? Man, I'm telling you, people come and share a blessing. That's encouraging. Coming to see what God has done in the lives of the people of God. Hey, listen, when we come to church, we need to come and see the saints. May I say to you, when you look around and you look at the saints of God, may I say to you that not every saint of God is separated unto the Lord. But may I say to you, we just read about some disciples that weren't separated unto the Lord either. Matter of fact, one of them, it got so far away from the Lord, Peter was out there fishing naked. Hey, go read it. There it is right there. Matter of fact, when God called him, you know what he had to do? He had to get dressed before he came into the presence of the Lord. Can I say to you this morning, that's what happens to people when you get away from God. You see, I'm just here to tell you that, hey, we need to come and see the saints. Not everybody's perfect. Say, the only perfect person here this morning is the Holy Ghost of God. You see, nobody, people come and see the saints. Hey, listen, some are not separated. Some are not spirit controlled. You say, how do we know, preacher, that some aren't spirit controlled? Because we open our mouth. A lot of times what comes out of our mouth is not of God. It's of the flesh. That's the reason, listen, I've learned it's better for me. I talk enough as it is. I don't need to volunteer a lot of things. So you know what I try to do? I try to practice keeping my mouth closed. We need to come and see that the saints, hey, some are not separated. Some are not spirit controlled. But let me tell you something. There are some great saints of God here today that are saved and sanctified and serving God. Boy, I'm telling you one thing. That's the kind of people you want to be around. That's the kind of people you want to fellowship with out in the foyer. That's the kind of people you want to go out to lunch with. That's the kind of people you want to make your friends. Hey, I'm just saying, when you come to church, come and see the saints, may I say also. When we come to church, come see the sinners. Yeah, when we come to church, we need to come and understand that, listen, folks, there are people here this morning that are lost without God. But may I say to you, they're lost, but they're loved by God. For God so loved the world. You see, they're lost, but they're loved by God. And by the way, they should be loved by every born-again believer this morning. Loving their soul for Christ's sake. They're lost but loved. Hey, but may I say also to you, they may be lost but loved, but they're lost and located. God knows where they are. If you're here this morning without God, He knows exactly where you are. He knows you're in this service this morning. He's located you. Why? Because the Scripture says, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21, that the ways, our ways are always before the Lord. Hey, they may be lost, but they're loved by God. They may be lost, but God's done located them. He knows where they are. Have people all the time say, preacher, I tell you, where can I go find some lost people? Huh? What do you mean where you go find some lost people? You know what I should do is say, listen, come on with me. Grab their arm, walk outside the door, just step them right outside the door. Said, you are now on the greatest mission field known on planet Earth. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. They're lost, but God loves them. They're lost, but God knows where they are. And may I say to you, they're lost, and if we don't do something about it, they're going to be left. They're going to be left forever and ever without God. You see, when we come to church, we need to be able to see the saints. We need to see sinners. Hey, we need to see the Savior this morning. We need to be able to focus in and see the Savior. You see, in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 6, if you'll remember there, the angels told the disciples, said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. He ain't there no more. That's where He did lay. You see, we need to come and see the Savior this morning and understand that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved, the name of Jesus Christ. See the Savior, not only see His wonderful name. Hey, we got to understand that He's a judge. He will judge the quick and the dead. He will judge the righteous. May I say to you this morning, we got to understand, come this morning, you'll see that the Savior is just. You know why I know that? Because in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, preacher, you don't understand what I've done. I don't need to understand what you've done. The Lord already does. Hey, I didn't write it. I just read it. Okay? And the Scripture said it doesn't matter what you've done. You come this morning, He's willing to forgive you this morning. Why? Because He's a judge, because He's just. And this morning, you know what to do? He'll give you joy. Folks, you know, I sit on platform each service, look out. You know, there's a lot of people that don't have joy on their face anymore. There's a lot of people that don't have the joy of the Lord anymore on their face. And by the way, their countenance tells it. Because they don't change any expression through the singing, through the preaching, through people getting saved, people clapping, when people get baptized. They do nothing. Why? The joy of the Lord is gone out of their life. And when the joy of the Lord is gone out of their life, what I'm saying to you, dear friend, this morning, is when the joy is gone, that means there's no control of the Holy Ghost of God in their life. What I'm saying to you, why did you come to church? Come and see the Lord. See the saints, see the sinners, see the Savior this morning. Take your Bible, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We've got to move quickly. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. May I extend to you this morning that God, when we come to church, wants us to come and see, but may I say, number two, He wants you to come and hear. Come and hear. Ecclesiastes 5, verse number 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready. Does your King James Bible say to hear? Yeah. It says, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. That means when we come to the house of God, we need to come and see. May I say to you, number two, we need to come and hear. Hear what, preacher? We need to hear the truth. You know, you're not going to hear the truth out in the world. They're not going to tell you the truth. They're not going to tell you the truth about sin. They're not going to tell you the truth about Satan. And they're certainly not going to tell you the truth about salvation. They ain't going to tell you the truth. So where are you going to come and find it? You're going to come to the house of God. That means, listen, folks, when we came this morning, we ought to have come to see. We ought to have come to hear this morning. Hear what, preacher? Hear about sin. And help us to understand that sin destroys lives. Satan destroys lies. But may I say too, when we come this morning, we ought to be willing to understand that sin destroys and Satan destroys, but salvation saves lives. It's done. It's all through, all done. We need to come and hear the truth. May I say to you also that we need to come and hear that, you know what? God can be trusted. God can be trusted. You see, when Peter walked out on that water, he came at the word of God. Come. Trusted the Lord. You see, this morning, we can trust not only His word, but may I say to you this morning, we can trust the will of God. John chapter 21, verse number 12 says, come and dine. Folks, you know, He's got a perfect and exact will for your life. You say, well, preacher, what is it? I've been looking for it for years. Well, listen. Look a little harder, pray a little more, fast a little longer. You'll find His will. Hey, folks, you've heard me say this many times. God's not trying to play hide and seek. Hey, He's not trying to play hide and seek with your life or with your will for His will for your life. It's right there. All you have to do is embrace it. But here's the thing. When you find His will and you embrace it, you'll find there comes responsibility, there comes commitment, there comes dedication, and there comes sacrifice. And a lot of people, when they look at that, they're not sure they want that. Hey, let me tell you something this morning, dear church member and dear visitor this morning. You can come this morning and hear the truth, and you can hear it. God can be trusted. God can be trusted. He's not going to lead you astray. You see, the Scripture says the Lord is righteous in all His ways. You see, when we come and hear this morning, not only do we need to come and hear the truth. Not only can we come and hear that God can be trusted, but may I say to you, when we come this morning and we see and we hear, you know what we need to do? We need to talk. We need to talk about the Lord. Hey, folks, listen, I'm not against talking about recreational things, but I wonder how many of us are spending so much time talking about recreational things and never spend any time talking about Jesus. Matter of fact, I think some may think that the word Jesus is not a good word because I never hear them talk about Him. You know what? I just love to talk His name. Listen, I'm telling you, that name, you get in a crowd, you mention Jesus, clear the room. Hey, you want a seat at the airport next time? Just start talking about Jesus and start pull your Bible out. Start reading Scripture out loud. It won't be long. You'll have a seat. Hey, we just need to learn to talk about Him. Hey, how about let's talk not only about Him, let's talk about heaven a little bit. Hey, we spend all of our time talking about all of our cares. We spend all of our time talking about our problems. Hey, let's talk about heaven a little bit because that's where I'm going to spend eternity. That's my eternal destination. Hey, when we come to church, we need to come and see, come and hear. Hear the truth. Hear that we can trust God and talk about the Lord. How good He is. How blessed we are. How He provides for us. Some of you, how He's healed your body. To tell people. Well, let me give you one more and we'll be done. I've got some others we'll skip over them, all right? You say, glory to God. Turn to John chapter 11. Let me give you one more. You see, God sent us to the house of the Lord this morning. John chapter 11. He sent us to the house of the Lord this morning to come and see. Come and see. You know what? There's believers everywhere here that are in great need. And you know what? He wants to use you to be a blessing to them. He sent you here today not only to come and see, but to come and hear. But may I say to you, there's some here this morning. He sent you here to come with the invitation to come and live. To come and live. John chapter 11, verse 25, if you would. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You believe that? Do you believe that when Jesus saves, he saves forever? Do you believe that if you come this morning and confess your sin and face God as a lost person, that He'll save your soul forever and ever and give you a home in heaven, prepare you a mansion, and allow you at some point to reign with Him in a millennial kingdom someday? You believe that? Believest thou this? Hey, I'm saying to you, come and live this morning. You see, the thing about it is if you're without Christ, you're a walking dead man this morning. You're without God, dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and sins. Say, what does salvation have for me? Well, come and live in peace. How about that? Not only listen as a believer, I've made peace with God. I've made peace with God. And yet the Bible says a lost man is an enemy. Why? Because he doesn't have Christ. I've made peace with God. This morning, I'm standing here in the will of God. Let me tell you something. I've got the peace of God as well. I've made peace with God. I've got the peace of God. Come and live. Listen, some of you this morning are absolutely miserable. The answer lies right there in the Bible. Come and live. Jesus said, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Not only come and live in peace, how about come and live in the promises? You know what? That Bible is full of promises, and I'm going to do as much as I can in my years on this earth to claim as many as I possibly can. You say, well, you little rascal, you self-centered. Right? No! Hey, God gave them for me to claim them. Wouldn't have put them in the Bible if He didn't want me to claim them. Say, what? Just tell me one promise and one privilege and one benefit of being saved. Well, Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Oh, by the way, He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, listen to me. Here's the promise and the hope that we're looking for as a child of God. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let me tell you something. If nothing else, that's one benefit. We ought to be looking toward that eastern sky, looking for the coming of Christ. Just say to you this morning, come and live in peace. Come and live in the promise. And may I say to you lastly, come and live in His presence forever and ever and ever. So you got any Bible proof of that? Yeah, but you don't have to turn now. I'll just read it to you, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Listen to me now. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, by the way, that's not the end of that chapter. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. I'm just extending an invitation that God's extending to you this morning. Listen, come and live in peace. Come and live in the promises. Come and live in the presence of God forever and ever and ever. You say, preacher, what I can do? All you got to do is come. What did Peter have to do to come walk on water? Come. What did Jesus extend to these men who were probably not totally in the will of God at that time, had gone a-fishing? You know what He said? Come. Come! And may I say to you this morning, I don't know what his word is to you, but I know He's bidding all of us to come. Some need to come get right with God. Some need to come be saved. Some need to come and answer the call of God that you know He's called you in your life to serve Him with your heart. Maybe He's called you to preach, some of you young men. Maybe He's called some of you ladies. Maybe He's called some families out to serve on the mission field. Hey, I'm just saying to you this morning, you know what He's telling you? Come. Come and dine. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say this morning, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven's my home. I've been